in 25. You'll stand with me in honor of God's holy word once you find it. Mark 14, verse 25. I'm sorry. Luke 14. I do apologize for that. We're going to be in the Gospel of Luke.
Oh, not Mark.
Not Mark. I'm sorry about that. I typed Mark in the bulletin, but we're in Luke. Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. Verses 25. That's where we'll begin. Luke 25, 14, 25. The Lord tells us in Luke 14, 25, he says, "Now large crowds were traveling with him, and he turned and said to them, 'Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost, to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, "This fellow began to build and was not able to finish." Or what king, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure heap. They throw it away. Let anyone who with ears to hear listen." This is the gospel of our Lord. Let's go to him in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your gospel. And Lord, that is the good news of salvation. It's the good news that you're with us wherever we are. It's the good news of what our son Jesus did on the cross for us, Lord. Help us all as your children to take up our cross daily, to follow you daily, every moment of every day, Lord, yielding to you and to your ways. Give me the words to preach this morning, Lord, and give us all ears to listen every day to your Holy Spirit's call. Through Christ our Lord, amen. Amen. You be seated. Amen. We come here to the Gospel of Luke. Again, in verse 25, he said, "Now large crowds were traveling with him." Many times in Christ's life, we saw large crowds traveling with him. They'd be large ones and they'd go away. Large ones. So often he tells them hard sayings elsewhere in the Gospels. We'll be right back here. We're going to jump over to John. He tells us in John chapter 6, in 65, and he said, "For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father." Because of this, after all he's saying, I encourage you to read back later on this afternoon the rest of that chapter, John 6. Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. They turned back, he says. Another large crowd turned back, as we're going to read in Luke. So Jesus asked the 12, "Do you also wish to go away?" Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God." Jesus answered, "Did I not choose you, the 12? Yet one of you is a devil." He was speaking of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, for he, though one of the 12, was going to betray him. When the crowds turned away in John, he asked his disciples, "Are you going to go away too?" He's telling us here in the Gospel of Luke, with these large crowds, they were traveling with him, following him around, and he turned and said to them, a hard saying, not what they wanted to hear, not tickling the ears, not spreading a little sugar on them. Now what did he say? "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciple." Cannot be it. It won't happen. Will not be there. Will not take place elsewhere in the Gospel of Luke. or Gospel of Matthew we'll read rather. He says, those who love father or mother more than me aren't worthy of me. Those who love son or daughter more than me aren't worthy of me. Those who don't pick up their cross and follow me aren't worthy of me. Those who find their lives will lose them, and those who lose their lives because of me will find them. Just as he says here, whoever comes to me, first we must come to him and does not hate father and mother. We're supposed to love God so much that he's the number one priority in our life above all things. If something else came between you and the Lord, you're supposed to hate it and love him more. Want it out of your life to love him more. We got to love the Lord above all things. He's not saying we're supposed to hate other people. He's saying, well, our love for God is supposed to be so, we're supposed to be so full of love and love for the Lord, God Almighty, that everything else fades away. But in that fading away, when we truly love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, then we can see more clearly how do we love father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, even life itself. If we should lay these aside first and love God above all things, then we can look back at them and truly love our family, our children. Our life itself can be full of God's love. But he says, whoever comes to me, if you don't come to him first, if you don't put the Lord God Almighty number one on your throne in your heart, first and foremost before all things, he says here, what is it? You cannot be my disciple. It won't happen. God has to be number one in our lives. We can look at our lives and reflect and ask yourself, what's been number one in your life? Just this past week, what's been number one on the throne? You can't have 15 kings. We don't have a Congress of the heart. We're supposed to have the King of our heart. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we can see. Then we can love. He says here, we can love our father. Then we can love our mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters. We can love these people more fully when we know what love is. For what is God? God is love, the Bible tells us. It says even life itself, our life itself, has to lay aside and follow the Lord. Lay aside our ways. As John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. He tells us again in verse 27, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Excuse me. Whoever does not carry the cross, take up your cross and follow me, as Jesus says. As I mentioned here before, back in the ancient days, we're so used to crosses nowadays, they're beautiful. We got this pretty gold-colored one. We wear them as necklaces and put them on the steeples and everywhere else. We're accustomed to seeing crosses on the side of the road and all over the place, but if you go back here these olden days and the Bible days, you sure weren't going to be wearing a cross necklace because it was an instrument of execution. It's the instrument that our Savior died. It's wherewith he died for our transgressions, and by him we're healed when he rose again and put our faith in him. We're saved by his death, by the precious blood of Jesus. He says here, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. When you carried a cross up a hill and the Romans was going to get rid of you, you was done for. It was the Roman centurion's job, just as that one pierced his side with the long spear they call the spear of destiny. It was their job to ensure you were 100% graveyard dead. When you picked up your cross and was going up the hill, you was done for. There wasn't no turning back. So to a Jesus, we got to be like that. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, as him says. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Unless we're willing to follow him and lay everything else aside, put him number one. No matter what, everything else is behind the Lord. Because when we put the Lord first, everything else will be better. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. If we want our job to be better, if we want our family to be better and more fit for the Lord, if we want everything to be better in our lives, we first put the Lord number one, put him number one. I don't mean that he'll give us $15 million. It means we'll have the spiritual blessing, we'll have love abound, and we can be a witness to him everywhere we go. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Not only the kingdom of heaven, what's he say? And his righteousness. Be ye holy, for I'm holy. The effectual prayer of a righteous person availeth much, James tells us. If we want our prayers to get through to the Lord, then have fellowship with the Lord. Stay close to the Lord. If you want your prayers to have power, then be close to the Lord. Set apart and be holy, like old Daniel. He purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Old Joseph said no to sin all throughout the Egypt land, and he was going to live for the Lord. We need to live for the Lord. Lay it aside. Take up our cross. He says, whoever does not carry the cross, if you're not going to do it and follow him, cannot be my disciple. It's not always going to be the easiest way. You ever saw that we got them beautiful crosses up in the cemetery. Them things mighty big. They're not, it's like not like toting around a laundry bag or something. Those things are quite a thing to carry. But we're not carrying it alone, because we have the Lord. He says he'll not give us more burden than we can bear, not on our own, but with him. When we have him, he bears our burden. He tells us to bear it. He says here, whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. No way. Can't happen. So we got to ask ourselves, are you taking up the cross and following the Lord? Are you taking up his ways and following him? His ways, the way, the truth, and the life. In verse 28, he tells us, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost? We're going to build us a big old long tower building. We're going to sit down and look and see if we can do this thing. Not first sit down, estimate the cost. How much is it going to cost us? To see whether he has enough to complete it. How much is it going to cost us to follow the Lord? It's not going to cost us $10 or $20 or $200 or $1,000. Oh, the price was paid with the blood of Jesus on Calvary. It doesn't cost us any kind of money. It doesn't cost us a sacrifice of some goat on a hill like some people try to meet the Lord. It's not going to do that either. Jesus paid the price. What's it going to cost us? It's going to cost us ourselves, our ways, the ways of the world, the lust of the flesh. We're going to have to lay that aside and take up our cross and follow. If we're taking up a cross, those things are mighty big. We don't have time to carry and tote everything on earth with us. We can't tote suitcases full of $100 bills. We can't tote our most precious things we want to take with us. We got to lay it aside, take up the cross of Jesus, and follow him. Follow me, he says. If you don't do that, you cannot be my disciple. Can't happen. Won't happen. Lord, help us. He says here, consider the cost. What's it going to cost you to follow the Lord? It's not going to cost you money. It's not going to cost you all those things, but it'll cost you the things that cling closely to your heart. The Bible says, search us, O God, know our hearts, try us to know our thoughts, and see if there be any idolatrous way in us, and lead us in the way everlasting, any wicked way in us. We got to get it out of our lives. Lay it aside. How do we do that? We come to Jesus and get it out of our lives. I can't wash myself clean. You can't wash yourself clean. We can't cleanse ourselves of sin. We're not that powerful. We wallow in it like an old hog. But by Jesus, when we come to him, we can be cleansed. When we come to him, if you got sin in your life, come to Jesus and be cleansed. Come to his throne of grace. The temple veil was ripped. We go straight to God. He says here, for which of you intending to build a tower does not first sit down and estimate the cost? We're not going to set ourselves aside and come to Jesus and follow him. We got to consider this cost. See whether he has enough to complete it. Verse 29, otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him. He's laid the foundation, but it didn't happen. You know, the Washington Monument up there in Washington, D.C., for years it sat halfway finished. And if you go there and visit, you can see the stone is one color until you get about halfway up, and then the rest of it's a brighter color because they didn't bother finishing it. They only got halfway through for 100 years. It looked foolish standing up there. So too, when he was laid the foundation, he is not able to finish. All who see it will begin to ridicule him. They didn't even bother finishing. It's a sad thing. So many want to follow the Lord, so they'll start following him only for a little while. Then they'll turn back, just as elsewhere in the gospel it talks about how the demons left a heart. It was cast out. They're wandering about, and they got to wanting to go back. Well, they went back to the place they came, back to that person. They found the house swept, clean, all decorated, all nice, but it was still empty. And they came back and it was worse before, and the person was worse than they was before. They didn't follow the Lord fully. They didn't truly give themselves to him. It was only a part of the way of faith. Just like in the book of Acts, it said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. They're almost a Christian, King Agrippa. So many people are almost Christians. They're almost there, almost going to follow the Lord, but not quite. Don't hold anything back. Don't hold your life back. Is there a corner of your heart you're not allowing the Lord to have reign over? Is there a corner of your life that you're not allowing the Lord to have reign over? Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. There's no room in our heart for anything else except the Lord Almighty first. He says here, count the cost. You're willing to. Otherwise, when he had laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. They started it. They didn't bother finishing. They didn't care enough to finish. Or what king, he says, going out to wage war against another king, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000. You know, we're fighting a spiritual warfare. We're going to have to fight the good fight of faith. How is that? We don't do it with pistols and guns and swords and all this stuff. No, we do it with the sword of the Spirit. So we read in Ephesians, these places, about the armor of God. We got to wear the armor of God and consider it. Are we going to do this as God's children? Are we going to be an altogether Christian? Are we going to be a halfway Christian? Are we going to be all together, all in for the Lord, God Almighty? Or are we going to be part of the way? The Bible tells us in Revelation to the church of Laodicea, because thou art lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Because they didn't want to follow the Lord. They didn't care about the Lord. They were lukewarm. They kind of halfway want to follow him. God said it made him sick. It made the Lord sick. He would rather them be cold or hot. He said, but buy of me gold tried in the fire, cleansed. Cleansed with the fire. Cleansed with the fire of the Holy Ghost or the fire of trials. He wants us living for him all the way, not halfway, 100%. We got a spiritual warfare to fight. He says here, this king here, or what king going out to wage war against another king? You know, we got to wage war against the principalities of darkness that come all about. You know, the devil, you put in cartoons that he's rolling around as a little horned beast poking people with a pitchfork in hell. That's not what's happening right now. The devil's not down there. He will be someday. All the demons, all the principalities of darkness will be cast into the lake of fire one of these days, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth, and the worm dieth not. But he ain't there yet. Just as when Jesus cast out the demons, what they say, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? It's not yet time. What the Bible tells us, the devil is prowling about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour you. He wants to send your soul to hell. But the God, who is rich in mercy, came to save us through Jesus Christ. He came to save us. He says, come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you got his rest? Are you taking his yoke upon you? Are you following him, letting him guide you? What happens when you yoke an oxen or a mule or something? You're guiding it. You're showing it the way. We got to willingly put the yoke of God on us so we can listen and be guided by the Holy Spirit. But we can't be bucking up on him and trying to run away. That happened with the old horse or mule or something, it'd tip your wagon over. The Lord's not going to do that. His wagon's not being tipped over. We need to be willing, following him, listening to him, letting him guide us and show us the way. What king going out to wage war? We're in a spiritual war down here below. Be willing to follow the Lord. We're the sheep of his pasture, the Bible tells us. He's got the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's the Lord God Almighty. He rules this world, and we are the sheep of his pasture. He is the good shepherd, as I love to see. Where's that? There's that window. The good shepherd, him guiding the sheep. That's what Jesus is for us, and we're the sheep. What happens when a sheep runs off on its own? Staying close to the shepherd, the lions and whatever will eat it, and the bears, they'll eat that sheep. But if it stays close to the shepherd, he'll protect him. If we stay close to the shepherd, he'll guide us and show us the way. We got to be all in for the Lord. Whosoever, he says, does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Be all in for the Lord. Stay close to the Lord. He says here, this was them. He says, he will not sit down first to consider. We need to consider it. Whether he's able with 10,000 to oppose the one back at this king, the one who comes against him with 20,000. It doesn't matter how many principalities of darkness are around you. If we've got the Lord, the good shepherd, on our side, all the legions of hell cannot defeat him, because he defeated him on the cross of Calvary. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he reigns forevermore. He says here, even if there's opposed the one who comes against him with 20,000, even with all that going on, we stay close to the Lord. We stay close to the Lord. Jesus said, and it's a sad verse we read. He says, straight is the path, and narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And few will find it. Lord, help. He says, few will find it. And he says, broad is the path, and wide is the way to destruction. And many will go there. What a sad, sad verse. What a sad, sad place. We want to be following the Lord. We need to be on a straight and narrow way. It's like how many people was on Noah's Ark. It wasn't hundreds and thousands. It was just Noah, his sons, and their wives. What a very sad, sad thing. The standard is there. Jesus said, just as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the coming of the Son of Man, because they're eating, drinking, giving in marriage, just having a good old time out there, doing as whatever they pleased. Then the door shut, and the rain began to fall. One day, door will shut, and the Lord will return. We must be ready. Let's not be a halfway Christian, but let's be an altogether one. You're taking up your cross. Are you following him? Are you counting the cost? Look at the cost of it. Look how much it cost you. Lay yourself aside. Jesus paid the price. He said, glorify God in your mortal bodies. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. The price of the blood of Jesus. We were slaves to sin and trespasses, bound in chains, but Jesus paid the ransom with his blood and set us free. Praise God. He says here, if he cannot, talking about that king again, if he can't defeat him, then while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. He says here, so therefore none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. He says, you can't happen. It won't happen, all your possessions. As he did with that rich young ruler, what that young ruler said. He came here wanting eternal life. He's wanting the Lord. But he was that close from it. He's that close. He came seeking the Lord, came to him. Jesus told him, honor your father and mother. Love the Lord, the God, with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, I've done all these things since my youth. One thing you lack. Sell all you have and give it to the poor. He could see that rich young ruler and see in his heart what was had a hold of him. What had a hold of his heart was his very much wealth because he was very wealthy. It's something this morning got a hold of your heart. It's holding you back from following the Lord 100%. Holding you back from following him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Is there anything in your life doing that? Therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. All your possessions. He says here, all of them. Not just some, not halfway, but he says everything. He's the Lord King over all your possessions at your home. Is there a little corner that the Lord's not allowed in? It need not be so. All our possessions, isn't not just our gold and our piled up in the closet or our bank account or our cars or our houses. All our possessions is everything within us, within our minds, within our hearts, within our lives, our work, whatever we're doing. That's part of our possessions, not just the stuff we've got piled up. That's part of our possessions, too. He says there, if you not give up all your possessions. Remember old Job. Lord brought, giveth, and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's what he prayed to the Lord after the Lord did. He gave him so much, but then he took some more away. Took some more away to all he had. All he had left was the Lord. If all you had left was the Lord, could you still look to him and say, blessed be the name of the Lord? Is that what's the most valuable thing in your life? Is it the Lord? Or is it something else? So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. Possessions are a tool. We can use them for the glory of God, or we can use it for leading others to hell with the devil. Let's use it for the glory of God, because he tells us in verse 34, salt is good. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? Salt is good. He's created us in the image of God. Not only that, he's redeemed us by the blood of Jesus. He's made us new by the blood of Jesus and his resurrection. Salt is good. What did God say with his creation? He said, it is good. And what did he say when he created human beings? He said, it is very good. He loves us. He loves you and me. Salt is good, he says. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? If it's lost its taste, what good is it? What good salt for? It ain't good for nothing. He says here, it is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure. We're supposed to be the light of the world, reflecting God's light, a city on a hill. What else? He said, we'll be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth, he says. Salt makes things better. Have you ever had a bowl of soup? It didn't have no salt in it. It didn't quite taste right. Salt's supposed to make this world better. How are we going to do that? By following the Lord, by loving him first and loving our neighbors. How can saltiness be restored if it's fit neither for the soil nor for the manure heap? They will throw it away. Just throw it out. Let anyone with ears to hear listen, he says. Let's listen, he says. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its taste, salt is saltiness, if it's lost its properties, what's the properties of a child of God? If we call, look up to God and say, you're my heavenly Father, wouldn't it, like I said before, there needs to be some family resemblance, doesn't there? There needs to be a difference in our life. If we're born again, the family of God. Old ways are passed away and the new has begun. There needs to be a little bit of a difference in our lives, doesn't it? And a whole lot of a difference. If we're redeemed, what's God's will for me, for you, for all of God's children? His first will is for us to be sanctified, be holy, be set apart for his glory. That's our first will. And then we've got other things. You know, we each have our different calls in our lives. It's all supposed to be for the glory of God. all for the glory of God. You know, some places you're arrested for being a Christian. But if it's just in your lips only, if it became illegal here, I've heard it said so many times, if it was illegal to be a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Well, would there in our lives? Lord, help us to. It's not just with the words. It's not just so much with what we speak. You know, what did God tell the children of Israel? He said, I despise your sacrifices. I hate your burnt offerings. Why did he hate their burnt offerings so often? He said, go away from me. I don't even want to hear you sing. Why is that? Because they were giving lip service to the Lord. They were halfway worshiping the Lord. They were halfway following the Lord. So God said, I don't even want to hear it. You know what's a joyful sound in the Lord's ear? Is when his people come to him and pray to him. When anybody calls unto him, he loves anybody. He loves everybody. He loves you right now where you are. He loves even the people that's living for the Lord halfway. He loves them just as much. What is his will? To love him. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength. And love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all of the law and the prophets. Salt is good, he says. But if salt has lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? Perhaps your salt's lost its taste this morning. How can it be restored? Only by the Lord. Only by faith in him. Only by following him. So what did he tell that church in Revelation? He says, behold, I stand at the door and the knock. He is on the outside of the church knocking, begging to come in because they wouldn't let him in. They wouldn't let the Lord in to follow, to lead them, to show them the way. What did he say? Those I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. He wants all people to follow him. He wants all people to show him love and show love to those around us, just as he loves us. We love him because he first loved us, the Bible says. I will restore to you the years the cankerworm and the locust hath eaten. He wants to restore. Bring restoration to your life. Bring redemption to your life. Every corner of it, not just part of the way. If our house is rotten down and about to fall in, and we hire somebody to fix it, we want them to fix the whole thing. We want them to take care of business. But if they only do half the house, when the other half falls, the whole thing can come tumbling down. So we need the Lord to completely fix the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's us. That's me. That's our body. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. He's wanting to restore us. He's wanting to redeem us, make us a new creation, that we don't fall apart. So when this thing dissolves, we can go depart to be with the Lord. But as we're down here below, we want to be living for him. We want to be a good temple of the Holy Spirit, not a grievous temple. Have you ever been in a very filthy building? You don't want to be there. It just feels terrible. You want to go somewhere that's clean, that's nice. We don't want the Lord's, the Holy Spirit, to feel that way in our bodies and our temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't want to be filthy. That's what happened when the filth filled the temple in the Old Testament. That spirit left. But it always will come back. When we come to him, it'll always come back. His call is going out to everybody right now, every day. But it's a call that has a cost. Jesus paid the price for it. All we have to do is come to him. What's he say here? Salt is good, but if it lost its taste, how can its saltiness be restored? Only by the Lord. He bids us finally at the end of this chapter, let anyone with ears to hear listen. Well, it looks like we all got ears. So we all got to listen to the Lord. Over and over, he tells them that in Revelation. He that hath ears to hear, let them listen. Let's listen to the Lord. Let's all bow our heads and take a moment and ask yourself, has your salt lost its saltiness? Are you living for the Lord truly? Or just part of the way? Is there a corner in your life that's still festering with sin? The Lord alone can bring healing. The Lord alone. Don't try to clean yourself up, then go to the Lord. It never happened. You can't do it. But come to him as you are. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, redeem me. Lord, cleanse me. And he will. He said he's faithful and just to cleanse us of sin, to redeem us, forgive us our sins, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's God's will, is to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, every bit of it. Take a moment and pray to Heavenly Father. Search us out, O God, just as you did. You said you were going to do with Jerusalem. Search them out with candle, Lord. Search our lives with your light every day, Lord. The wonderful light of your presence of the Holy Ghost. That we may truly be the children of the light. Fall on you, Heavenly Father, with everything we've got, all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, all our possessions, everything, Lord, we yield them to you every day. Knowing that you are a far better steward. We give it all to you. Show us the path, Father, every day. Bless each and every one of these people gathered together here. We thank you for their presence, Lord, and their love for you. Fill us up, Lord, because so often we leak, but you promised in your word that our cup of the Holy Ghost can run over. Thank you, Father. Through Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you'll stand with me and turn to hymn 133, Leaning on the Everlasting Arm. 133, we're going to sing this to Heavenly Father. And let's do just that. Let's lean on him and follow him. 133. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright a path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arm. I have blessed peace with my Lord so dear. Leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Amen. Amen. Been such a blessing to be here in the Lord's house this morning. Let's go in peace, to love, and serve the Lord. And follow him in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.